Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are reflecting on the life of Jesus as reported by the evangelists. We have been reading the Gospel of Luke. The first two chapters, the so-called Gospel of Infancy or Infancy Narratives. We have seen that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was found as a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. He was visited by the shepherds who received a message from the angels. We see also that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day and he was given the name Jesus, meaning Savior, Yahweh saves. And this name is so important that later on, Peter, in his defense before the Sanhedrin, would say, as it is reported in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. It is the only name given by God, by which every human being can be saved. That is what Peter said. That's what we believe, that this is the name by which every human being is saved. The same thing was said again by Paul to the keeper of the prison. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 31, we read, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe in this name, and you shall be saved, because this is the name of the Savior." So Jesus' name, the name Jesus, brings salvation. Now we saw also how Jesus was brought to the temple, presented in the temple, and how he was offered a substitute of two turtle doves. Now, when Jesus was brought to the temple, there were many coming to the temple to pray. There were the officiating priests and the Levites. There were the pilgrims coming to the temple. Maybe hundreds or thousands of people in the temple. But nobody understood this particular child. Nobody could find any exception, anything exceptional about this child, except two old people. So Luke goes on to narrate to us how this child was recognized, acknowledged as Savior by two old people. And that we can read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 25 to 38. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. So is the first character presented. Four qualifications are given. Beautiful picture of an old man. This man was righteous, it is said. Who is a righteous person? A righteous person is who lives according to God's plan and God's will for him. A righteous person is one who obeys the law concerning his duties towards God and duties towards his neighbor. A description of the righteous person can be found in the book of Psalms, chapter 15. It describes in detail who a righteous person is. A righteous person who can come to the presence of the Lord, who can abide in his tent. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Is the question. A person who is worthy to come to God's house. Who are they? Who walk blamelessly and do what is right, who speaks the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue, do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to the hurt, who do not lend money on interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. A righteous person, who is righteous, who is just before the Lord and before the people. So Simeon was a righteous person, living totally according to the law of the Lord. He was righteous and he was a devout person. A person who fears the Lord. A person who has dedicated his life to God. A person whose life was surrendered to the service of the Lord. A devout person, a believer, a just person. And then he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. A person with hope. A person awaiting the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. That is all Israelites supposed to do. But in the course of time, maybe their expectation faded and they got busy with too many things. But here is a person who never forgets that he is waiting. He is waiting for the Lord to come. He is waiting for the fulfillment of the promises given to Abraham, given to Moses, and through the prophets. It was being repeated. Waiting for the consolation, the redemption of the people of Israel. A person who is a believer, a person with hope. And finally, the Holy Spirit rested upon him. A person who was the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. A person who had surrendered his life to the promptings of the Spirit. A just person. And here we have an example, a model of the remnant of Israel. What God wanted Israel to be. Israel as a person, as a people, a collectivity of persons to wait for the Lord, to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And here we see a faithful Israelite, Simeon. And this is the person who recognizes Jesus. But before he does that, he has to obey. He has to obey the Spirit. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He has received the promise, as all the people had received the promise. But this particular individual had a special promise that he would see with his own eyes the Messiah of the Lord. We do not know when or how this promise was given. He's an old man waiting for the coming, for the fulfillment of the promise. Now, guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. A person who listened to the promptings of the Spirit. The Spirit speaks to us, to you and to me. We have to listen. We have to listen to the Spirit that speaks in our hearts. As Elijah listened to the gentle breeze in the cave. As Moses listened to the voice of the Lord on the mountain. We have to listen to the Spirit. Do we listen to him? Or we listen to so many voices. Or we drown the promptings of the Spirit with too much of noise in our lives. Simeon listened and he heard and he obeyed. Guided by the Spirit, he came to the temple and his coming coincided with the coming of the parents of Jesus with a child. And Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, the beautiful praise, Nunc Dimittis, is the Latin title of this prayer. Now, Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Here is an old man who had been waiting for the coming of the Master. As a servant is waiting for the Master to hand over the key. The person had been holding the house. He was watching the gate, holding the front, just for the Master to come and hand over the keys. Here is the time is fulfilled. His waiting had been long, an old man waiting a long, long time. But now the waiting had been fruitful. He is happy now. His life is fulfilled. Now he can go in peace. The peace that was announced by the angels, peace to those people on whom the favor of God rests. He is the man of God's favor. And he has the peace, inner peace. Now the life is fulfilled. Go in peace to his home, to God. How does this peace come? Because he has seen, my eyes have seen your salvation. This child wrapped in swaddling clothes, brought by humble, poor parents with two pigeons because they did not have the money to buy a lamb. This ordinary couple bringing a child, an everyday, daily event. In this particular child, Simeon could see the Savior, the child that brings salvation. He was inspired, enlightened by the Spirit to see the Savior in this child, which nobody else could see. And seeing by the eyes of faith, he is happy, he is ready to leave. His life has been fulfilled. And this child is seen as the salvation which God has prepared in the presence of all the peoples. And the qualification of this is, there are two. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. Lumen Gentium it is called. This is how the servant was described in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind. Given as a light to the nations. Simeon sees the child not only as a fulfillment of the promise to Israel, but he is the Savior who enlightens the whole world, all the nations. Light to the nations. Our ancestors, the rishis, continued praying, lead us from darkness to light. Tamaso ma jyotir gamaya. And we continue our prayer, lead us from darkness to light. And Simeon recognizes in this child that the light has come, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, to all the world. As it was said, he is the Savior of all. So now Simeon recognizes Jesus as the light of the world. And Jesus later on will say, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me does not live in darkness, but will have the light of life. So a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And then you'll continue to say, for glory to your people Israel. So this is the revelation. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises. And now, after this canticle, Simeon has something more to say. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. They were amazed that a particular individual recognized this child. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. In the midst of this euphoria of praising God for the redemption that has been given, the Redeemer that has come, Simeon brings in a note of tragedy. This child, who is to be the Savior, will also be the cause of fall for many. He has been destined for the rise, but also for the fall of many in Israel. Jesus, the Savior. His presence, how can it be that his presence brings failure, that he causes the fall of many, and that he is going to be opposed, a sign that to be contradicted, a sign that is being rejected. So this is the tragedy of the incarnation or the situation or the human situation. Later on, Jesus would say that he has come not to bring peace, but the sword. It is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus, during his public ministry, around the midst of his public ministry, says that he has come not to bring peace, but to bring sword. A very difficult saying indeed to understand. And then later, in Luke 12:51, it is being interpreted as division. Sword is being interpreted as division. The coming of Jesus will cause division in the society. That had been the experience. We know Jesus came into this world. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 11, it is said, "He came into his own, but his own received him not." So there is the tragedy of rejection. People did not accept him. But there are those who receive, and there are those who reject. And there is a division between those who accept Jesus and those who reject Jesus. And that's what Simeon is pointing to. This child is going to be a sign that will be accepted or contradicted or rejected. He is going to be the center, a center of attraction. Nobody can remain indifferent in the presence of Jesus. Everyone confronted by this particular person, Jesus, has to make a decision for or against him. Nobody can be indifferent. The one who thinks he is indifferent is rejecting Jesus. And the one who accepts Jesus will have to transform his life. And this transformation will cause trouble in the society. A person who accepts Jesus and his values, or the values he preached of the kingdom of God, will have a new way of life. And this new way of life will not be accepted or appreciated. Even the disciples of Jesus might be found as a threat to the existing situation of injustice. And that is the reason why generation after generation, hundreds of years, the Christians had been persecuted. Starting from the Roman Empire, even to today's, various sects, various governments and religious fanatics persecute, object, and reject Jesus. So this had been promised. This was a prophecy. He will be a sign that will be contradicted, a sign that will be rejected. But this is somehow the hearts of the people are being revealed, the thoughts. When one is confronted by Jesus, his thoughts become open. His hidden plans and agendas and beliefs will become open because one is confronted by Jesus and forced to make a decision for or against. And this decision will cause even the cross. The cross of Jesus, the death of Jesus, is somehow already on the horizon. When Simeon makes this prophecy, he's going to be a sign that will be opposed. And then this opposition and the cross is going to pierce the heart of Mary, a personal word to the mother of the Messiah. And a sword will pierce your soul too. We have seen pictures depicting the sorrowful mother. The mother of Jesus carrying a sword in her heart. In some pictures we see seven swords, the seven sorrows or dolors of our lady. But the seven is a symbolic number. It shows that Mary had to participate in the cross of her son and finally stand at the foot of the cross and offer her son as a sacrifice to the Heavenly Father. So that sacrifice has begun. When Mary presented her only son in the temple and offered two turtle doves in substitution, she did not know that this child is going to be the true sacrifice on the cross. But she was willing to take that risk too. She was surrendering herself and her son in the temple to the Father. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your son as a light to the nations, as our Redeemer and Savior. Enable us to respond to his call positively. Enable us to listen to the promptings of the Spirit as Simeon did, and make our lives a continuous praise of your glory and your love. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.